Many areas of the world today is known as the Little Christmas, the day when gifts are given and received in imitation of the Magi coming and bringing their gifts to the Christ child. But this is also the Feast of the Epiphany, the manifestation, what is invisible being made visible. We have another manifestation of this next week's gospel, but today we've got the Magi coming from the east. So who were they? Why did they come to Bethlehem? Were they seekers, or were they themselves being sought? We see in the Isaiah, the Israelite community once again had been in disobedience to God and were being punished. They'd been taken away from the Holy Land, or from the Promised Land. This punishment, though, wasn't going to destroy them. Isaiah sees into the future and he tells them, "Rise up, Jerusalem, your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you." This isn't just the light of a new day. This is the light of God, the light of Christ. Isaiah tells us that Jerusalem will be the center of this manifestation, but it will be not just for them, but for the whole world. This prophecy would have been known throughout the world because of the disobedience of the Jews. They kept getting conquered. They kept getting taken away from the Promised Land, spread throughout the world. And when they went, they would have brought their sacred scriptures with them. And they would have taught those that were holding them, those that they were serving, wherever they were, about their faith. So the prophecies maybe wouldn't have been known in their entirety, but they wouldn't have been completely unknown either. So we have these Magi, these wise men, scientists, but they were pagans. They would have studied the things that the Jews had left behind. They would have had a glimpse or an expectation, but without knowing what it was going to be. And so they notice this star in the horizon, and they know that there is something special about it. So they get up and they leave their country to go on a journey to this distant land following this star, not knowing where it's going to take them. But it doesn't stop them from going. And so they arrive in Judah and they figure that they're from a foreign country. If something this important was going to happen in Judah, this new king of the Israelite people, they would know about it. So they go to the leader. They go to Herod. He knows nothing, but he's upset. Not only him, but all of Jerusalem. And so he calls the chief priests and the scribes. Where is this going to happen? In Bethlehem, the land of Judah. So Herod sends the kings on to Bethlehem with instructions to go to find this king, but then come back to me so that I can go and do him homage as well. And so they go off and they find this child and they offer him homage. They fall down in worship before him. And then they give him their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gold fit for a king. Frankincense to honor God, and myrrh to acknowledge his mortality, that he would give his life for his people. And then they are told in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they return by another way. So who were these Magi? Who were these wise men? They were not Jews. They were pagans. But they were seeking God. And in that, they recognized something that even the chief priests didn't recognize. They recognized something that all of Jerusalem didn't recognize. They recognized something that the innkeeper, when he had Mary and Joseph right in front of him with the child Jesus about to be born, he didn't recognize. They saw what the shepherds saw because they were seeing like the shepherds, not just with their eyes, but with their souls, their hearts. They recognized a truth that is beyond what we can understand, a truth that is beyond the things of this world, and drawn to this babe being held in his mother's arms. On the surface, probably one of the most common, ordinary things. Every one of us was there at one point in our lives. Every one of us was there being held by our own mothers. So what was it they see? But when they come upon this child, they fall down prostrate in front of him. And then they offer these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, these gifts fit for a king, offered to this child in utter poverty. Can we see what they saw? These wise men that came on the journey, they weren't the only ones in their country. They weren't the only astrologers, the only scientists. Where were the others? What enabled them to recognize this star and the significance of the star and to go on a journey? What prevented others from doing the same thing? And once they see it, they're changed. So many of their own countrymen did nothing. So many of the Israelite people failed to see. The Magi can still teach us today. We have so many in our people in our world today who say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I'm a seeker. I can find God in nature. I can find God in my work. I can find God in other people. And yes, we can, because God is in everything and everyone, but not in the same way that He is here in the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist, that He is here in the gathering within a church. He doesn't want to come to save in a generic way. He wants to save in a personal relationship. He became one of us. He became this little baby for us, to save you, to save me, to offer Himself in the Paschal mystery of His suffering, death, and resurrection, one at a time. It's that personal. God drew these Magi through this star. Perhaps He's using the star of science. Perhaps He's using the star of nature. Perhaps He's using the star of another person to draw me to Him. He'll use anything in nature if we can just see beyond the nature. Is my heart humble enough to see that? Or do I demand that God bow to my spirituality, where I set the rules, where I set the guidelines, where I set the parameters of my faith? When we do this, we put ourselves over God. We demand He bow to us. We keep Him at a comfortable distance. We can say, oh no, you're getting too close, God. I'm going to back you up. I'm going to turn you off. We're in charge. But God ultimately is in charge. We're not called to have a comfortable faith. The Holy Family was not comfortable in that cave giving birth to their child, laying him in a manger. The Magi were not comfortable in this journey that they took. We are not called to be comfortable in our faith. God isn't that distant force. He's closer to us than we are to ourselves. And He wants to dwell in our hearts. He desires to be with us, not as a tyrant king like Herod, but as a loving child, just looking up with trust and confidence into His mother's eyes. We have an invitation to follow the Magi, to follow something bigger than our own ego, to follow something bigger than my own pride, not to set my own rules, but to seek God where God leads me, to imitate the Magi, giving of my time, my talent, and my treasure. There are indications that the trip of the Magi, this voyage, took not only months, but probably years to take. There are indications of the gifts of science and intelligence to guide their journey. They didn't have modern roads. They didn't have modern GPS. They had to forge their own way, taking advantage of the gifts that God has given them. And they come bringing their gifts of treasure. They come with those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, laying them at the foot of the one they seek. And when they find Him, they are the ones who are changed. And they return home by another way. So do I have the courage to ask? Do I have the courage to seek? Do I have the courage to allow myself to be found and to allow myself to be changed? Not knowing where that might lead in this life, but knowing that it will lead to eternal life.